everyone. Welcome all. Step right up. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 1, 2, 3. Howdy, everybody. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. And it's a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. Howdy, everybody. Welcome to this episode, which we are entitling, We're in the Endgame Now. That's right. That's not a Star Wars quote. That is a, actually an Infinity War quote. But we are going to spoil. I've never gotten to do a spoiler episode of anything. And so we are going to have our discussion be completely un-board game related, completely un-portal related. And we're just going to talk about Marvel Endgame. But I should introduce myself. I'm your host, The Brant, and with me is...
Your co-host, Kathy.
Hey, Kath, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Was sitting there fun?
Yeah, it was a long intro.
Yeah, that was a long one. So... Yeah, but we're going to talk about Marvel Endgame, which we saw.
I know. We had differing opinions on.
Ooh, differing opinions. Now, good job. That was a good hook, Kat.
Thanks.
Nice. So we'll review some games up front here. And yeah, then we'll like put spoiler tags and make all sorts of noises. And then we'll talk about Marvel Endgame and whatnot. So we titled this episode after that.
That we did.
Instead of a Star Wars quote. What's new? What's exciting? What's interesting with you?
It's just busy. Everything was Zephyr School, and I'm in the middle of a big consignment sale that I help run, and all that life is busy right now.
And we should, like, have a stack of games to review, but we don't. You know why? You know what we've been playing? Gloomhaven.
That's true.
What if we played like 4 or 5 games of it recently?
Well, we just got new characters.
That's right, and they're really good. They're really good characters.
Yeah.
Mine is really good. I really like it.
Yours is really fun.
Are you mad?
A little.
Nice. Yeah, so nobody probably wants to hear around Gloomhaven anymore. We're on like 54 scenarios now that we've played. We haven't beaten it, and people usually beat it between 40 and 50, so I'm not sure.
We meandered.
Yeah, and then the expansion released. Did I tell you?
Mm-mm.
So we have an expansion to fit in the box.
Oh no.
The expansion has a new character, the Aether Diviner.
Okay.
Which I guess, spoiler alert, we've seen some Aether characters, which I don't know if there's one in, was the Spellweaver an Aether? No. Right?
There's been 2.
Gotcha. Yeah. So anyway. And then there's more scenarios. There's like 14 more scenarios to play. I imagine they just go linearly, and I almost don't know that I would mind that.
Right.
Like, it's fun to have choice, but it almost starts to feel convoluted. Like, just tell me the story.
Well, I think that's why we haven't finished the game, is we went on to our own... We're trying to finish our own personal quests.
Right.
And not focusing on the the story.
Yeah, and then I think there's 10 more monsters in there.
Yeah.
Which are like, okay. I mean, we've seen all the monsters in the game, I think. So we haven't seen all the bosses. But we've seen all the monsters. So I can kind of see like, all right, now I don't know how these react. More decks of cards to shuffle and hold on to. Yeah, it's kind of a weird game. Like, it's a game that feels like it should have expansions because it's so popular. But then at the same time, it's like, what are you expanding?
We haven't even played all the characters we have yet. Like,
Right. I the only thing for me, like I said, is I feel like I'd be down for like a 10, 14 mission campaign.
Yeah.
That you just play straight through. Or you make some minor choices that affect, you know, you'll go A or B. To give a little more cohesiveness. I think, to your point, it's almost like we're doing side quests, and I have no idea what the actual main story is. Or then we're doing a side quest for a side quest, it feels like.
Yeah.
and I get a little confused.
I don't like feeling like I'm missing something, too.
Yeah.
Like, right. I want to do everything so that I didn't miss out on, like, if I have a choice of two things.
Nice. So that's our Gloomhaven update.
That we weren't going to do.
We got back into it. We've been playing it a ton, and it's our favorite game, so we'll let you know that. But you went away.
Did, in all the madness.
And tell us about all that.
We've been trying, with Brant going to all his conventions and whatnot, we've been talking about, for maybe 2 years, that I just want to go away with my friends just for a night somewhere. And we finally did that at the end of April. I sent out an email, and we ended up with 7 people total, which was crazy. I wasn't expecting everyone to be able to go. but we just, it was a couple towns away. We just got an Airbnb, and we stayed the night. We made dinner and hung out, and it was awesome. We did all the things. We did a puzzle, all the introverty.
Right.
Old mom things.
We
silently read books all on our own.
Wore sweatpants.
In the room together. We wore sweatpants. We watched a movie. We did a puzzle. We played Mysterium.
Nice.
It was fun because of the 7 of us, probably 2 of us play games. No, 3 of us play games regularly. And 1 or 2 others have played heavier games with us, and the others aren't gamers at all. And everybody loved Mysterium. It was nice because, again, the 3 of us had played before, and it was new to a lot of people. Although what's funny is that a lot of them, their husbands had played with us here at our house.
Ah.
And so their wives were playing it for the first time, which was, it was just a funny thing. But it was really fun.
Yeah, but 3 or 4 people of the 7 had played it, right?
Yeah, that's what I said. 3 of us had played it before.
Nice.
So yeah, it was really fun. And they all really liked it.
I was going to say, they all individually have told me how much fun they had with that game. So
yeah.
I think what's so great about that game is you really don't have to explain the rules. You're like, oh, do you know Clue? And they're like, yeah, okay, it's Clue, but you're trying to guess your character from cards that you're given. And then people are like, what? And then you give them the cards and they get it.
Yeah, it makes sense as you
Or they don't get it, but that's the point.
It's what's the best scenario is if the ghost needs to know how to play.
Right.
And if you have 1 or 2 people who've played before, like, I relied on Carly a bunch. I was like, I'm going to dump all... This person has the right guess already, I can tell. I'm going to dump all my cards on them. And I'm hoping Carly's going to realize I did that.
Right.
And so they're not going to sit and try to figure out so I could clear out my hand. But, and she did, and that was great. So it worked out great.
And you don't remember if you won or lost.
That's the funny thing. I cannot... I know it was very close. I feel like we might have lost on a tie. But I don't... I'm not sure.
Welcome to the non-competitive Sanderson household.
But you know, though, that's the point of... I feel like that's the point of Mysterium. Like, by the time you get to whether you won or lost, like, that's not even... Like, the game is already over by that point.
Mm.
Right. It's just fun.
Cool.
Anyway.
Well, that sounds fun.
It was fun.
Got to do a lot of stuff and just kind of throw a game in. But what I think was neat with that story was kind of like a game was part of all the other things you were doing. Like, it was as normal as watching a movie or eating snacks or doing a puzzle.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, and then you just play a game, right?
Yep.
So I thought that was kind of neat to see and whatnot. I had some people over and we actually played some pretty big group games. We played some Tiny Towns and we played some... Between Two Castles of Mad King Ludwig, which is really great. I've reviewed the game before, I think kind of a 24-hour event or something. But the fun of the game is just figuring out how everything scores. Every tile tells you how it scores. And then there's kind of some general categories that score. And it's a giant spreadsheet you have to fill in at the end for every castle. And you're doing two castles with your neighbors. And anyway, but the fun of the game is just being like, I'm not going to tell you how everything scores, just go figure it out. And then you're discussing with people, and that's where the joy of the game is, you know. So that's not a review of that, just a quick thing that we did. But that night we also got to play, I thought this was super thematic for this episode, Hail Hydra. So Hail Hydra is a social deduction game. It's like for 5 to 8 players, and you're trying to beat down the villains. The Red Skull is attacking New York City with a bunch of henchmen villains, and you are S.H.I.E.L.D., and you are playing various Marvel heroes, and you're trying to beat back all the villains and not let New York get destroyed in the process. But amongst you, secretly, Hail Hydra, there are some sympathetic villains, if you will, some members of Hydra, and so that's where your social deduction comes in. So I guess what's slightly different about this in terms of all that is it's very much Battlestar Galactica meets the Resistance. I would say that's kind of where you're going.
Okay.
So it's like the Resistance in that you're kind of, you have these missions, and in the first one, everybody's in. So instead of picking people to go, everybody goes, and then you can vote to leave people home.
Okay.
So everybody's in, but you vote. They're called knocked out. But to me, it's almost like they're staying back, right? Like they have to stay back at the Avengers, you know, headquarters or whatever. They actually still get to play a little bit, and they come back in the next one automatically. You have to vote them out again.
Okay.
You can reveal yourself and say, Hail Hydra, and then you deal damage to the city, and now you do all sorts of things, including if they vote you out, you still deal 1 damage to the city every turn.
That's a little bit like Battlestar Galactica.
You stay in the game and you can still affect things. Yep, yep. And then the resolution is exactly like Battlestar Galactica. You have plus and minus cards, and you commit however many you're going to play, and you say, I'm playing 1, 2, or 3, put them face down, shuffle them all together, and then you reveal. You don't add the 2 unknown cards, so you can parse out a little bit better. Which makes sense in a shorter time frame game. Because this game probably took us about 45 minutes. I think it says 30. It was probably about 45 minutes. It was great. I was Hydra, and we definitely got everything confused. I think in that kind of game where you're just trying to learn the rules, and people are trying to be secretive, and we were 7, so it was a 4-3 split, which is rough.
Yeah.
I think it was a little bit against the other team naturally. Mm-hmm. Or, against S.H.I.E.L.D. naturally. But I feel like we did a good job. Like, the part that amazed me was Brian was playing, and at one point he's like, oh, I can do this thing where I deal 4 damage to the city to hurt this villain that we didn't then defeat. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, you should totally do it. And like, there was no discussion. We just did it and did damage. So, and then finally I became the leader. I was Spider-Man, so I said Hail Spydra and revealed myself and did damage to the city. And then from there, everybody was demoralized that Spider-Man would be Hydra.
Ooh, that is demoralizing.
And then Tom was playing with us, and who is he? I don't remember who he was. Maybe Black Panther, and he revealed himself. And next thing you knew, it was just, boom, the city was done, and we won. But I really enjoyed it. I would play it again, and I forgot kind of the rush and the thrill of social deduction.
Yeah.
I kind of get tired of them. Like, I kind of get exhausted of them. But I forget, like, the joy of doing that. Especially if you get, like, we haven't had the, like, social deduction group together in a while. We've had a stronger, like, gaming group where the social deduction is almost awkward at times for people. But I'd really love to, like, get a social deduction group together and really be able to try to pull off some stunts. Or sometimes you just realize you're caught and you just throw yourself on the sword. Like, okay, you've got me and I'm going to do this. And now you're just going to start, you know, whatever. So, it was neat. I got knocked out at one point, just kind of randomly, like, well, we should knock somebody out. And people were like, Brant. I was like, okay, like, I'm all for it. But then what you do is you pass cards to players. So instead of playing, you pass cards. So I just passed cards to people who I knew were S.H.I.E.L.D., like, positive cards. So they're like, oh, he's passing us positive cards. He must be good. And then when I finally only had bad cards, Brian was on my tee. I was like, well, Brian's got a bunch of cards. I'm just going to pass him one of my bad cards because he can then just kind of absorb it in his hand. Everybody's like, oh, that sounds good. So it was played. That was fun. That's Hail Hydra. I don't actually... Oh, the publisher is Spin Master. So they've been kind of publishing a lot of games that are kind of in like mass market stores.
Yeah.
Awesome. Next, we got to play Genties.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Your initial reaction was...
I was tired.
Your initial reaction was that. You know, you just kind of brought something up that I was interested in doing. Not necessarily podcast reviews, because I think podcast reviews are a little different when you listen. But I was thinking of, like, if I ever did video reviews, I would do something where I just review the game in the first 2 minutes. Like, this is what I thought about the game. I loved it. Boom, boom, boom. Because so often you're waiting when you watch reviews to be like, oh, did this person like it or not? Because I want to, like, give all the objective details. But yeah. I'm like, I'm going to be subjective or opinionated. And then if you want to keep, you know, seeing what it is. And I like that you just jumped out. Because I really like this game.
Yeah.
I played two solo and once with you two player. So I have no idea where this thing's going to go with 3 and 4. It felt like a good time frame. It didn't feel long. So. It moved along. So I'm not afraid of that with 3 and 4. But if this game was 2 hours with 4 people, would it be super engaging? I don't think so. I think it's got to stay a little shorter.
Longer. Those cards
are brutal.
Are a lot. And there's so many of them. And they're all icons. So you have to look up what everything is. So the first time,
right.
I wouldn't want to play with 3 and 4 with the first new time. Players. Mm-hmm. I would do it with people who've played before.
Nice. Let's tell people what the game is.
Okay.
So the game is Genties, and this is originally a Spielworks game, and then it got deluxified by TMG, so the Kickstarter's kind of been fulfilling the last month. And we grabbed this, and it was a lot of punching and stickering, and today you were gluing
my fingertips.
The insert.
I've been picking at them ever since, but I glued all those inserts, and I'm covered in glue still.
And the good news is, this is Brian's copy, so you did all that work for his copy.
I did.
So anyway, it's a civilization game. I guess it's supposed to be like represent like a millennium of technology and history, but it's a big-time card game. You're trying to collect and, or, you know, draft and play these cards that give you your, you know, stables and oxen and training grounds and treasure, whatever, all these kind of cards that kind of upgrade. But what you do on your turn, the clever mechanism, which feels pretty unique for a Civ game, is you kind of draft an action tile from the board. And then you have a whole bunch of slots running across your player board. You put it in one of those slots, and then it'll tell you, oh, you have to add time markers. So 1, 2, or 3 time markers. And you add those to your remaining slots. So an action has like an action point cost to it.
Yeah.
And so it takes up space, so you're only going to be able to do so many things. Once you fill up your row, you're done for that round. And then you'll kind of reset going into the next round, and there's 6 rounds. 3 eras, so each 2 rounds is an era, so there's new cards that get better and better and kind of progress. So things you're doing is you're drafting cards, you're playing cards, you're gaining population. You have like types of people, scholars and workers and artists and warriors, all sorts of things like that, which also has its own little clever mechanism. And you are building cities out on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the other thing I'm missing? I think that's pretty much all of them.
Yeah, so, I mean, getting income.
Yeah, you get money for that. And then there's kind of a decline phase where you gain income and your buildings produce out on the map.
Oh, and all the cubes, too.
Oh, yeah, there's like cute. They like represent like temples or something. People helping you. So maybe that's kind of a religion thing. I'm not sure. So, yeah, that's kind of the idea behind the game. So it's really getting these cards in play is probably the main piece. The bonus tiles at the end of the game are the first person to get 18 population, first person to get 8 cards in play, and the first person to get 6 buildings on the map. So that kind of gives you 3 routes that you can go. But having population really helps you play the cards. Having buildings helps you get resources to collect and play cards. When you draft or collect people and technology cards. It has this clever mechanism of like, do you want 1 card? Do you want 2 cards? Do you want 3 cards or people? And the cost increases and decreases based on how many things you want and what's available to you. And that's very clever as well. The other thing is when you put those time markers on, if you ever get 2 or more, you can put two in the same spot. And at the end of the round, you'll remove one, but that spot will then be locked out for the next round. Then there's little lock tokens that you can remove so you get more space and yada, yada, yada. Just kind of Euros from there.
Yeah.
Civilization Euro. There's no battling. There's no fighting. There's no knocking down things. So it's very just friendly who can build the best city. You get victory points, and most victory points wins.
Yeah.
So we kind of already both said we like it a whole bunch. I think it just, did I have fun? Definitely. Did I feel clever? Absolutely. It checks those two boxes that I love. And I think in addition, it just feels really smooth.
Yeah.
Like, I know all the information is just presented. And, I mean, people, I guess, could complain about interaction. The interaction is just that classic timing. Ooh, I really wanted that, or I needed that tile, and I didn't take it. Or, ooh, I really need to go first. Or, oh, I needed to build there. I wanted that card. I mean, that's the interaction. So that's low on that end, but it allows you to plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the components are great in the deluxified version.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Like, I love the printed meeples.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice saturated colors on the board, and the art is nice. I like it. The board art it's basic, but it looks nice.
Yeah, Spielworks does that kind of older, like, kind of, I don't want to say bland, that's the wrong word, but it kind of has like this muted, you know, feel, and they don't really give a lot of detail to, like, maps and things like that. But I do agree with you, like, the colors are vibrant. They stand out.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's a nice color palette. And even, like, the tiles are good colors so that they kind of stand out. So it's not amazing to look at in terms of, like, ooh, this is, like, best art.
Right.
But it's great in terms of functionality.
Yeah.
Like, it's great art for being functional. So graphic design is really well done.
Yeah.
In terms of that. So you know where everything is, where things go, how to place things is very clear. I guess there were a few icons that you were saying were small to see, but it's almost more like you have to know what they are, and then you're looking for them, and you're just telling two apart. So it was just, I think at the time, you didn't know what the icon did to give you, like, the cube under the temples, so it was a little confusing. Yeah, so I'm excited to try this with three, with four. You know, I didn't feel mass amounts of AP. I was solo playing, so that's on me. But it has different play for solo play. It has different play for two players. We played on the correct side of the map, and then it flips for three and four. So you've almost got kind of three different games there in terms of that, because there's more spaces and more tiles on the other side for three and four players.
Right.
I don't really have a lot to say, except it's a medium weight Euro with maybe a tinge towards heavy, but short on the time frame.
Yeah.
I think that's important. It was like an hour for us with the teach, maybe an hour and 10 with the teach. So it doesn't push towards a heavy game on that front, right?
Mm.
It's not moving up to those ones like Terra Mystica, Gaia Project, Mombasa, Great Western Trail that push up to 2 hours.
Right.
Nowhere near that. So, yeah, I'm intrigued to try this with more people. I'm definitely going to get this play because I feel like the teach is pretty easy. Even though there's a lot, the graphic design is so good that it's like you're going to take these tiles or these, and these all do this, and these all do this. And then it's kind of up to the person to just parse out what they're doing, you know, and not go through every detail. The cards, I agree. The cards were hard to know because they did it all by iconography. But then they give you a fold-out sheet that explains every card.
Right.
So at least you're not left hanging, but you have to read through them all.
How many cards are out at a time? There's like 10?
Yeah, you got three in your hand and
eight cards out.
Yeah, so you got like 11 cards.
There's a lot of cards to look at up front.
Mm-hmm.
And they change every round, too.
Right.
So
yeah, that's a good point. So anyway, that's Genties. I really, really liked it. I would tell people to just go out and play it. Buy it, whatever.
Sure.
The retail version doesn't have the like wooden components. So it has chits for all that stuff. I don't know that it's necessary. It's totally going to depend on your aesthetic. Like, if you must, there's some people who know there's a deluxified version, so there's no sense in them owning the standard version, right? For me, it's like, I'll take it either way. If I can get access to the deluxified version, I'm good. If the other version plays the same and is cheaper, I'm good for that, too. So, that is Genties. All right, last up, just to do one more review here, I got to play Welcome 2. I think you would enjoy this game. This is a flip and write, which is kind of in the roll and write. I don't like roll and writes. This is not my thing. Love Gone, Sure and Clever. I love Fleet the Dice Game.
I was going to say.
And there are others. But Welcome To was like the hit. Like at Gen Con and Origins last year, Dice Tower Con, this thing was being played everywhere. You can play with unlimited people. The game comes with 100 on the pad, and you can hand it out to whatever number. Are we just playing bingo at that point, though? Like, somebody's going to win, and it's not going to be me if I'm playing with 50 people. Like, it could be.
You should tell us how to play.
All right. So Welcome To is kind of like Suburbia, the roll and write. So you're building your little suburban town. You've got three streets that have 10, 11, and 12 properties on them. Some have pools, and then there's parks on each street. So there's three cards that are out, three decks that are going to be out. You take the one deck, you shuffle it, you split it into three, and then you flip a card off the top of each. The back side of the card is going to give you numbers, and the front side of the cards are going to give you like elements of a suburban street. So the numbers need to go in order left to right. You can skip, but they need to be in ascending order.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got, they're 1 to 15, and you've got a street of 10, 11, and 12. So, yes, you've got to kind of make decisions. You can put anything anywhere you want, but that's going to kind of be the rule. And then you flip things like parks or pools or fences. And so they all score differently, but essentially parks are you can cross off a spot on a street, and then you'll score so many points. And the bigger street has a higher potential, but you have to cross off more. And the smaller street has a lower potential, but you don't need to cross off as many to get there. There's some things that the pools are you have to put your house where the pool is, and then you get bonus points for how many pools you have. There's like a little construction cone that lets you adjust the number plus or minus two, so you can use that ability. And then whoever uses the most construction cones gets a bonus at the end. There's a business one where you can make a house a business address, and then you can copy the number. So one can be copied again. You can have one next to one. You still have to go in ascending order, but you can kind of break the rules there. But each one of those you do gives you a negative one at the end of the game. If you can't play a card or you don't want to, there's a spot you can mark off, and you'll lose points at the end of the game. Once you, like, you lose your zoning permit or something is the idea. Once you mark enough of those boxes, I believe the game is over. There are also goal cards that are out that you're trying to achieve. And so the first person to achieve that gets points. If it's a tie, then both players get the points. And you flip the card over and there's like secondary points. The game ends when all three of those goal cards have been completed as well. I think there might be a third game end trigger. I think if somebody fills all their spots, they fill up all their streets. So that's kind of the idea. The other key one is the picket fences. You place the picket fences, and then basically the end of each street has a built-in fence. If you place a fence and then you fill in all the numbers in between, you create an estate. So your estate could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. And so a 6 is worth a lot more than a 1, mm-hmm. and you're trying to do that. That happened to be the goals we were going for. We were going for, like, make estates of certain sizes, fill a street, etc. I was able to complete 2 objectives at once. And then the third one was like 2 or 3 rounds later, and the game ended really fast. So I kind of rushed the victory and then just didn't have a ton of points, but had more than my opponents who just weren't able to do that. So that part was a little strange to me that it was like you see the puzzle and then you go from there. And unlike something like Fleet Dice, where you're kind of drafting dice from each other and interacting and, oh, I gained this bonus from you, there's nothing to interact on here. It's just who can make the best suburbia in the given time constraints. So I really see the thematic tie. Like, it's cool you're building your own little town, which is fun, while doing a puzzle and everybody playing simultaneously. So I thought it was neat, and it would be a fun game to have around. They've now made all these pads where it's like Christmas in suburbia, zombies attacking suburbia, a Halloween night. So those are kind of fun to add flavor in. And the pads are like $10 to get another 100. Right. So on that front, I kind of like the game. I could see it being fun to kind of have around and like, oh, we got 10 of us. Here we go. Let's all play this. Ooh, let's all do the Halloween one the week of Halloween. Let's all do the Christmas one around Christmas. Let's all do the zombie one around, you know, Zombie Independence Day or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. Roll and Writes just aren't really my thing. There's something to Fleet Dice.
Because you don't
keeps
like
it playing.
Yahtzee.
Yeah. Yeah, but Yahtzee is a roll and write, but it's like even independent. Yeah, well, that's, I guess that's worse. It's like, here's where I actually want a chance to interact. Right? In the shorter game, I want that. Yeah. So, you remember like Quicks and Quarto? Do you remember those ones at all? Where you fill in the charts. You roll the dice in the center, and then everybody picks how they're going to put the dice in. Mm. And then I'm take this die and draft. I just think that's so much more interesting. Yeah. Even Gonshar and Clever, where, ooh, you took the blue six. I needed that so bad, right? And, you discard all the dice, whatever. Oh, now I get to use your leftover dice. So there's at least some interaction. I don't need it to be like, oh, I bombed your whole thing, and now you have to rip up your sheet. But there's that piece. But Welcome To is definitely a solid game. I could see where people would really like it. I could see where it would be great at conventions and stuff where I could demo this game in 15 minutes and get a piece around it. And I think those pads are really interesting. I'd totally be down to try some of those. So that's Welcome To.
Okay.
Awesome. Oh, it's Deep Water Games. I should make sure I mention the publisher. I think that's it for games. Let's go play some Gloomhaven. What do you say?
I would like to talk about Endgame.
All right. Hey, spoilers, everybody. Spoilers. I guess we'll put a little bumper here, and we'll come back. So, if you're listening, and you haven't seen it, or you don't want to hear us talk about spoilers for Endgame, we'll say bye.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. We've had a short episode. We will catch you on the back end of the music. Whoa. End game now. Whatever it takes. Alright, we got a chance to see Endgame opening weekend. I'm sure many, many, many people did. There were theaters that were open 24 hours in the city. They just kept playing the movie.
I'm not surprised.
Every 3+ hours. Just kept it going, going, going. By the way, if you're listening to this, there's about to be spoilers for Endgame. People hate spoilers, so they want to know. So we're telling them now.
Yeah.
So, I guess we should give a little bit of background on, like, Marvel movies and us. So, of these 22 movies, I think I've seen somewhere between 18 and 22. I think that I haven't seen the second Thor, which is notoriously terrible. I haven't seen Iron Man 3, which I guess is wretched. And I'm not sure what else under there I have not seen. I think almost all of the others have been seen. Do you know what you've seen or not seen?
I probably am in a similar boat to you because I feel like I've watched anything I've watched with you.
So do you think that's how you first saw it? Did you see Iron Man?
I feel like I did.
Okay.
When did that come out?
2008.
I did. I didn't see it, like, right away.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing it in the theater. I don't know if I saw it with you or if I watched it. I can't remember. I remember seeing it and being like, oh, that was really good, because Iron Man was really good.
I feel like you saw it and were like, oh, it's really good, you should watch it. And then we watched it, at some, like, rented it or something.
Okay, that would make sense. Anyway, so I think the other key point was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, man, yeah.
I think that's probably our key Marvel. So whatever it was up until Guardians of the Galaxy, we saw them, we saw some. I remember being excited for Avengers because Joss Whedon was going to do the script, and I liked Joss Whedon, and I was like, oh, he'll do a great job with this, and I know a lot of people were excited. That was a huge buildup. Like, oh my gosh, all these movies are going to come together.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big deal for people. But so that I remember that being somewhat of a piece. But yeah, so then Guardians of the Galaxy came out and people went to see it and they were just like, this movie's so good. And we were really not in a movie going time frame. Zephyr was young. We couldn't take her to the movies.
Right.
And so we'd have to get a babysitter and there were just babysitters for so many things or just between money. It was like, oh, we could just go see things. And I said, you know what? I really want to see this movie. And you were like, why? Because there's a raccoon in it. And I love raccoons. And with a New York accent, and it's like, all right, I gotta go see that movie. And you were like, let's do it, make a date night. And
And that was the movie where I was like, all right, Marvel, I'm in. Yeah, we loved it.
Yeah, it was probably one of our best dates ever, even though movies are just not. We were interacting a lot, high-fiving.
Were we? I don't remember
Oh, and
that.
laughing hysterically.
It was funny for
And I
sure.
think it's still my favorite of the Marvel movies. I'm not sure where nostalgia goes with that,
Yeah, I
but
don't know what my favorite one is.
nice. So, so that's just a little bit of our background that we've seen most of them. Some of the ones that aren't very good, we haven't bothered to see. But then we went back and we watched a whole bunch and we've rewatched, to somewhat be timely for what we're going to need,
Yeah.
and all that. And I think we've enjoyed pretty much all of them that we watched. I remember Guardians of the Galaxy 2 didn't get quite as good ratings, and now that I go back and watch it, other than them being a. They fight with each other a little bit too much in that movie. But other than
Yeah.
that, I love it. I mean, the beginning's amazing. Baby Groot. Like, there's so
Yeah.
many good parts in those. So I still really like that. Those are probably some of my
And
favorites.
their soundtracks.
Yeah. I guess we actually kind of have to say which ones are our favorites. I guess I really like Spider-Man.
I love Spider-Man.
Yeah, that one's really good. And Infinity War is way up there for me. And Iron Man. Oh, Civil War. I
Civil
really,
War.
really like
Yeah,
Civil
I do
War.
too.
And Captain Marvel was okay. It was cool. It was neat, but the story just kind of went. So it wasn't one of the amazing ones to me in terms of recent. Black Panther I really liked at the time. Now that I go back to watch it, I don't like it as much when I watch it, but I really liked it when I saw it in the theater.
I still love that one.
Yeah. And Ant-Man was surprisingly good. Ant-Man and the
Yeah.
Wasp was surprisingly good. So those are there. So they've always been above average. So that's kind of our piece. Then we saw Infinity War and just absolutely loved it and all those things and kind of argued where it would go from there, and then obviously got to see Endgame. So I've been talking a ton, so you give us your opinions on Endgame.
You want my opinion on the movie?
Or you could just talk about the movie. Things you liked, things you didn't like.
The reason I like these movies is because the story is so strong. It's not just an action movie. I love the character development and all their backstories and where they're going and all of this. And so I think that's the reason that I loved Endgame was because there was so much story. And here's where we're getting into spoilers and everything, but just the like full circle, so many of the characters got to do with their time traveling, but in their like resolution with issues in their pasts, Iron Man meeting his father, Captain America, and that lady.
Peggy Carter.
There it is. Even Black Widow and Hawkeye, like having their moment together where we know that their beginning kind of started with them together. Just I loved all that. Like let's have resolution to a lot of these things. It was super cool. I really liked that.
Nice. How'd you feel about the movie overall?
I thought it was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Nice. I guess I'm a little more verbose about my feelings.
Well, I'm not, so
No, that's fine. I'm just saying I feel bad because now I'm going to go into my
ahead.
whole thing. So I enjoyed the movie overall. I definitely liked it. I was the things that I say I didn't like, I was just more surprised that they did them, that that's the way the movie was. So first off, 3 hours is not a bad thing to me. I totally make sense you're going to make your final film 3 hours long. So I don't have an issue with it being 3 hours, but I felt like that movie could have been 2 hours and 15 minutes, 2 hours and 20 minutes. There was so much that was so drawn out. Now, I want to be careful. The beginning was great. The beats they took were awesome to make it slow, to show things, to show them out in space, and then to bring Captain Marvel in, and even that was like a low energy thing. Like, she shows up and she flies him like really silently home, and then they fight, you know, Cap and Iron Man go right back into fighting. I thought that was great, and there were some amazing delivered lines there. Robert Downey Jr. was phenomenal. Acting, this is the thing in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, like, these movies were not well acted.
Right.
You know? All the time. They were very over the top. And there was, like, great acting.
Yeah.
And then to go to Thanos and just take him out was super smart 5 years later. All the way up there was great. Then all of a sudden, we're watching Cap at an AA meeting, and Natasha, Black Widow's making a sandwich for 5 minutes and cutting it sideways. Now, I heard something. I thought it was Nick Fury, though. Somebody said there's a scene where somebody talks about they'll never eat a sandwich cut diagonal.
I don't know
a lot of the references. I'm sure people that have seen the movies all 10 times each can do a lot better. So that's that. I guess that's the other piece, is we are not comic book people. So as far as like going back to the comics, we got no idea. So anything that alludes to any of that, I don't have any appreciation for that, because I don't know that. I was just amazed at how, kind of after the first half hour, 20 minutes, like, the next hour was just slow. And I guess for me, it felt predictable. I can appreciate them trying to show that people's lives were just kind of bleh, right? Like, for 5 years, they just did nothing. There was nothing to do. I do also think it was key to show that Tony had the best life he'd had ever. A kid, wife, nothing to worry about, living out in the country. Like, this was amazing for him. So that he had something to sacrifice. I think that was great. But there were just a lot of scenes. I mean, they were funny, like, when Ant-Man was trying to travel back in time and he was turning into all these different things. Like, it's not like I don't want humor in the movie, but it just felt like there's all this extra time for doing all those things. The time travel was fine. Like, they're explaining it, and they're trying to unexplain other movies and explain this one and kind of leave it where they're going to be. I was nervous then when they all went back in time and suddenly realized they were going back to the other movies. And I was like, oh, dang. I don't think you or I remember the other movies well enough. Like, I think I've seen Avengers twice. I don't know where Thor's mom came in. Probably the second one, which we've never seen.
Right.
But I think they did a good job. They kept it very surface level. Yeah, I think they knew.
I thought it was fine.
I think they knew they were going to have people that weren't going to remember, or at least would just go, oh, this is from that movie. That's all. But you didn't need fine details of anything.
Right.
Which was really smart. So it was more, like you said, character development. Let's go see all these characters again, even ones that have died or passed, whatever, right? We can go back and see them all and kind of give them their last chance on screen. So I thought that was pretty good. I was fine. I guess the Cap versus Cap moment was pretty fun and interesting. To me, it just felt like a weird thing to do, but I get it. People really enjoyed that. So anyway, they get all the stones, they go back. I guess I'm recapping the movie now. But I thought it was really smart how they brought Thanos back in. Like, it was like, oh, I get these messages. I guess it was a little weird that, like, they could send the two nebulas could, like, sense each other on, like, the same, like, Wi-Fi network. Was a little weird way to do it. But I thought it was great for Thanos to be like, oh, I completed my plan, and they're trying to stop me. That was a cool way to pull a villain in.
Yeah.
And give him almost, like, an arrogance, right? That he always had, but you almost saw, like, a different Thanos. A different arrogance of, like, now I complete this plan, they're going to stop me. And then, of course, he, like, full warriors up in the suit and everything. So they bring him in time. Of course, this is how they bring Gamora back, which was fine. But now that was awkward to me. Like, I enjoyed their relationship. And now Quill and Gamora aren't going to have a relationship anymore. They're going to have to rekindle it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do.
That bothers me a little bit. The Vormir thing that you were talking about with Black Widow and Hawkeye, that to me was like, oh, obviously one of them's going to have to kill themselves or kill the other one. And I guess people said that was, like, one of the most heart-wrenching scenes for them. And to me, it was like, oh, let's just do it. I know what's going to happen here.
Well, you do, but they didn't.
Yeah, so that was interesting to me that that one went on. Now, I guess what some people were telling me was a big deal was almost everybody thought Hawkeye would be the one to die because they would never kill Black Widow.
Right.
And then they did. Spoilers! So that was a big deal to people. To me, they're both background-ish characters, so I didn't feel like it was that major of a thing, but I'm not trying to be heartless, which you're looking at me as though I'm heartless.
I don't see how Black Widow is a background-ish character.
She's more than Hawkeye, because he didn't, like, fight in Infinity War and stuff like that.
She's more of a background character
she's more of a major character.
She's totally a major character.
So that was sad. But I guess the scene felt a little me like, all right, let's go, keep the movie moving. But I guess I didn't want drama. And that's where you were upset with me. Like, you just want action all the time.
Right. That was ridiculous.
But it wasn't a bad scene. It was fine. And I thought the end fight scene was great. There were definitely the questions of, like, why is Thanos so powerful? Why can he take on three people? This, that. You can question all that. But I always think it's funny when you try to figure out, like, you know, it's the classic, what happens when the unstoppable force meets the immovable shield or whatever? Like,
right.
What's going to happen? So, but I thought there were pretty clever things, like Captain Marvel comes in and kind of surprises Thanos, and he's pushing her back, and she should be able to just win, and then he pulls the Power Stone off and punches her in the face. I thought that was a great move to show he needed just, like, the direct force of that to take her out. It is a little awkward that she can just, like, fly through a ship and blow it up, but Thanos, she can't.
Yeah.
But you start getting into trying to explain all that, and then it's like, why are you even watching a superhero film?
That's
like,
true.
Why are you playing Mario Brothers to complain about the physics? Like,
right.
You gotta just let it go and let it be that way. And enjoy some drama in your movie, people. So, there was all that. I thought the end was good. I felt like it was obvious, but they didn't make it obvious in the film, which was nice. You could kind of go back and see it, but taking out Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, having Tony die, I thought was kind of like, you're like, yeah, somebody's got to, and who's it going to be? And it's him. But they did a good job with it. The last line made sense because it was like the whole thing of he opened up all the superheroes and showed who they were, and then he was kind of closing that door to sacrifice himself. And, yeah, lots of appearances of everybody, got lots of screen time. Mm-hmm. So, overall, I enjoyed the film. What I have to say is my negativity after watching the film, I would actually go see this one again. I've listened to a lot of recaps of people, mostly board game people, talking about it, and it kind of excited me for moments or funny lines, like you were referencing the Build-A-Bear line.
Yeah.
And this one, almost more than Infinity War, I'd go back to see again to kind of pick up on some of those things. I don't think I will, because I think money and time. If I had 4 hours free, I feel like I would just bug you to play a board game.
See it again when it comes out.
Yeah, so... But that was my recap, and then there's the whole where are they going from here, but I mean, I think it's great. You know, you got Spider-Man, you got Black Panther, you got Captain Marvel.
They're making Black Widow.
Yeah, they're making a Black Widow film. Guardians have Thor now, so that'll be fun to have him, because that was a fun thing from Infinity War for sure. Not a fan of Fat Thor, and people love Fat Thor.
Oh, I don't like Fat Thor.
And it's like, it was fine, and I wish they did something about it, but whatever. It's a thing. But yeah, I think all those will be great. I guess the next Spider-Man trailer is supposed to have pretty significant spoilers from Endgame, but makes sense and where they're going to be. And all that. So I enjoyed the film. I would watch it again. I definitely feel like Infinity War was amazing and this one was just good. But I don't know how you end a story like that. Like, you've got so many things to close and you've got so much to do.
Nobody's
and then you're putting
be...
time travel in. That's always a mess.
Nobody's going to be 100% happy, everybody isn't going to be happy no matter what you do.
I thought the way that they had Cap go out was great, not dying, but going back and marrying Peggy, mm-hmm. That was great. I mean, whatever, people want to explain, oh, this doesn't work, and how's that working, and he brings a shield back, and all these things, but it was like, it was great closure for his character.
Yeah,
like,
I thought that was good,
too.
It
was just going to kind of be done. I guess it'll be interesting, like... Will the future be the repercussions of all this? Like, yeah, they kind of brought people back and whatever, and the stones got put back, but are there repercussions going forward? So that'll be interesting to not have Tony and not have, like, Cap kind of selfishly making what's best for him as opposed to staying to continue defending, although I guess kind of ends that chapter. But, I mean, it's just, again, in movies, that's what you have to do, too. Those actors need to move on. They can't do this for another 12 years, you know?
Right.
So they need to switch that out. So what do you feel about the future of Marvel?
I'm excited. I think there's still a lot of story in there. Yeah, so I'm interested to see even, and I don't even remember his name, but who they gave, who Captain America gave his shield to, Sam?
Yeah, Falcon.
Like, that whole thing, and Spider-Man, and, yeah, just all of that is interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like, do they just keep the same formula? Do they just keep, all right, let's make, you know, we have kind of these characters, let's make a second movie for each of them with the endings that then kind of connect each other, and then we bring them all together.
It's a great formula.
Yeah, or do they have to do something new?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm intrigued how they bring them all together, but Larry informed me that there's a comic, the New Avengers, which include not the main four there.
Right.
And so they can bring those pieces in there. So, I could see that being like, oh, here's the New Avengers movie, right? And then you've got Captain Marvel, Black Panther, Spider-Man, and Doctor Strange, I guess, would be your fourth one.
Oh.
In there, right? Would be your main four. The story that I've heard is that Captain Marvel is going to become the leader. She's going to be the forefront of it all. Which is a great, great story and great move to have a female be the leader, right? That works well for them in terms of all that. And you've got all those other female characters that were in there. So I guess Ant-Man. I'm not sure where Ant-Man fits in terms of all that, right? He's got his own movies, but kind of is a...
Yeah.
Right, not really in the main team, so... Interesting on that piece. Well, we probably shouldn't babble on.
Nope.
So, yeah, that's our end game. Thanks for listening, if you did. And I guess for us, it's like, hey, we really like board games, but we also like these Marvel movies, so it's kind of fun to talk about them all.
And everybody's doing it.
Everybody's doing it, and I never get to, so
there it is.
We took a chance to do it. Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for listening to episode 1, 2, 3. We're in the end game now. And I think that's it. So until next time, I'm your host, The Brand.
And your co-host, yeah.
And we hope you step